The views expressed on the Making It Matter podcast are that of Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests, and not necessarily those of the Boomer Esiason Foundation. Nothing in the Making It Matter podcast should be considered medical advice. Such advice can only be given by a physician who is experienced with cystic fibrosis. The Boomer Esiason Foundation, Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests cannot be held responsible for any damage which may result from using the information on this podcast without the permission of your medical doctor. You're listening to the Making It Matter podcast with Gunnar Esiason and Julia Ray, presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation and GunnarEsiason.com.
Hey, it's Gunnar Esiason, and thanks for joining Julia and I for episode 49 of the Making It Matter podcast series, 24 Hours for CF.
Hi, everyone. Making It Matter is a podcast presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation and GunnarEsiason.com, highlighting the challenges that people with CF face and the people who face them.
Since Julia, our guest, and I all have cystic fibrosis, we're remaining compliant with the National Cystic Fibrosis Guidelines regarding patient interaction and cross-infection by recording via Skype. This podcast was made possible by Novartis, Vertex Pharmaceuticals, and the Digital Credit Union. So big thanks to them for always supporting Boomer Esiason Foundation educational initiatives. All right, so Josh Llewellyn-Jones is back on the podcast. He's 30 years old, and he just recently completed his 24 Hours for CF fitness challenge, which is absolutely amazing. Josh, why don't you say hi to listeners? And for those who may not know, give a brief recap of what the 24 Hours for CF fitness challenge was.
Okay, so hi guys. Yeah, thanks for having me back. It's awesome to be back and talking about this. So, yeah, last week I completed the first annual 24 Hours for CF challenge. So
the first annual
one. Yeah, I got to get that in there. So so in the 24 hours, I cycled 100 miles, I lifted 100 tons, I ran 10 miles, I rode 20 miles, I cross trained 10 miles, I swam 2 miles. And then did 3,000 sit-ups, 1,000 press-ups, and 1,000 squats. So, it was pretty good. And I'm recovering well.
talk about a full day. Now, to my understanding, you actually finished before the 24-hour mark.
Yeah, so I finished the actual challenges that I'd set out within 22 hours, or I think it was just around 22 hours, and had 2 hours to spare. And me and my trainer had a plan, so if I was going to finish early, he was going to say to me, you know, well, what do you want to do next? You know, let's go for it. Let's go above the challenges. So I had a really quick rub down by my physio and jumped on the rower and did another 10 miles. So, it was amazing. It was really good fun. And I think the thing for me, as we touched on before, is what motivated me a lot was that each hour was dedicated to a CF warrior from all over the world. So so in my darkest hours during the night, literally anyone who was with me at the time would just get the poster that we had, the A4 poster, and just show it to me. And then that would be enough, really. It would be like, right, that's it, I'm going. And that's, and you know, and that really sort of helped me to keep going, really.
Yeah. So I think that's amazing, and I'm sure that kept you going. But what were the hardest moments? Like, was it just the sheer exhaustion, or like, could you just not pick up another weight? I mean, obviously you could because you kept going after you were done. But like, take us through the darkest moments and what that was like for those of us that will never be attempting 24
hours.
There's
always time. There's always time. I've told you, you need to do it next year. I think the things for me, because I'd done a test run, like 75% of the individual challenges a few months previously, and I got cramp after about 7 or 8 hours. So this time was more about preparation in the foods and the salts and making sure my nutrition levels were at a maximum. So this year, this time I didn't actually get cramp at all for the whole 24-hour challenge, which was just, I couldn't believe it myself. I was like, I'm doing really well. Like, none of my muscles are actually cramping up. This is amazing. But I think the exhaustion thing, there's something in climbing, they call it like the death zone, when you get into like a really, really difficult stage and you hallucinate, you don't really know where you are, what you're doing. And I definitely hit that in terms of sort of halfway through. So after about 11, 12 hours, because we were going quite quickly through the challenges, and my trainer turned around to me and said, listen, you've got time, you can slow down. So I slowed down a little bit, but it was just mentally. So my body was absolutely fine, but mentally how tired I was, because for the first 6 hours, I had a lot of people coming in to say hello to me. So I was having a lot of conversations as well, which was tough, because I think people didn't appreciate that, yes, he's doing like 24-hour challenge and stuff.
He's exhausted.
I'm trying to entertain conversations as I'm going along as well, which was tough in itself. So the exhaustion set in, and it was weird because my trainer looked at me and said, right, you've got to stop talking to people. Just literally, just stop talking to people, and I'm going to put some headphones in, and I'm going to play something to you, and you're literally just going to have to go through this barrier. So I thought he was going to put some like really upbeat music on, or like, you know, and he put this motivational speech on, and it was unbelievable the effect that it had on me within 2 to 3 minutes. I was like, right, I'm back in the room, let's go. And it was literally just like, it was that instant, which is just a true sign of that. It was what got me through was the mental strength, mm-hmm. as yeah. opposed to the physical strength. The body is capable of so much if your mind will let it.
I think that stuff is something that can be related to people going through cystic fibrosis life as a whole. You know, you're obviously pushing your body to the limits, and people with CF, regardless of the severity of the disease, have to push themselves through mental barriers just about every single day. And in this case, you know, the big thing that I'm taking away from this specific example with your trainer is that, you know, he was part of the immediate support system for you in your hardest moment. And for people, you know, with CF, I think we can take that to learn that, yeah, you know, we can also push our bodies in a physical fitness way. But as well, you know, when we're dealing with major health issues, you know, I think that's what's also very inspiring here is that every single day we have, you know, I don't want to say a limit, but, you know, a line that we have to get through to get ourselves to the next day and, you know, able to live a healthy and successful life. And that's what I sort of take away from this.
And leaning on your support system.
Yeah, exactly.
And allowing that to come in. You know, there's a lot of parallels to CF life and this 24-hour fitness challenge.
Exactly. I mean, we always say that cystic fibrosis is basically a marathon. It's, you know, it's every day is a different race, and you have to get through to the end of the day to get to the next one. And I think, you know, Josh, your challenge here is very, very much a microcosm of what people with CF go through on a daily basis, just in a different way. Now, I want to go back to you dedicating an hour, each hour to a CF patient. How did you come by these people with CF? Did they reach out to you? You obviously had a worldwide reach here. You know, you're talking to us in the States here. You're over in the UK. And I really want to, you know how were you able to get in touch with all these people with CF? Did they reach out to you? What really drove that part of the event?
Yeah, the amazing thing is that with this event, it was all very much a case of, regardless of how much money we get to raise, I want to raise as much awareness as possible, and I want to reach as many CF warriors in the world as I possibly can. And in the build up to this challenge, I had so many messages of support, and a lot of the messages actually were from parents with kids with CF. You know, saying, oh, thank you for the great work you're doing, but also like asking me for tips, asking me for advice on, you know, their training and things like that. And obviously I can't give that advice. That's up to their doctor and their team, you know, in place to do that. But what I can do is obviously just say, well, this is what's worked for me. So a lot of the time it was me being contacted by these parents. And I think, you know, I could have probably chosen 150 kids that I've actually come into contact with. And it was so difficult to actually narrow it down to just sort of like 22 or 23 for those sort of hours. And I think, you know, I dedicated the last hour to just all CF warriors all over the world. And I think the big response that we saw was people from all over the world were like actually downloading like world clocks to their phones to see what, you know, where I was in my challenge, which was just unbelievable to see the reach. Also I had videos being sent in from these parents with their kids exercising whilst I was doing the challenge, which was just, for me, it was just absolutely incredible and inspiring to see that the work that we're doing is actually helping these kids and helping these adults to live better lives. And what I mean by that is not just, you know, in a physical state and helping out their physical well-being, but their mental state as well. And I think for me, throughout the whole challenge, it was always the case of this pain that I'm going through right now is temporary. It's going to end. It's going to stop. And actually, there's people out there who are a lot worse than me. So, you know, there's no excuse for me, absolutely no excuses why I wasn't able to do it. So I think for the people that reached out to me, and I did ask the parents' permission to do it, Even though I didn't ask you to, I did ask some of the children's parents, and they were over the moon. They were absolutely over the moon. And to see some of the videos, so we did a live video every hour, or we certainly did for the first couple of hours. We did it live, and then we just went in then because we realised that actually logistically, I was running across to the gym, so live just wasn't working. But I think for those kids to see their face on that video was so powerful to them. And then to find that they wanted to exercise and they wanted to exercise with me. And as we know, for cross-infection purposes, we can't exactly meet up and go for a run together. But what we can do is we can do it via Skype and we can do it via video. And so that's really the next step, really, is to get all these people into exercise in a big way like you guys are over there.
And can you tell us what your plans are now? What now that you've
yeah.
done 24 hours? What more could you?
It was really strange.
But you have good plans.
Yeah, it was really strange because I think in my head I always thought I'm going to do so many more events. I'm going to do loads of different things. And then when I finished the challenge at midday on a Saturday, and there was this weird feeling when I crossed the finish line that there were quite a lot of people that turned out to see me cross the finish line, which was amazing. And then it was kind of like, oh, it's done. what do I do now? You know? and last week it was really bad because I went from being on such a high to then going back to work. And it was just like, right, this is just normal day-to-day life now. And it's just not exciting.
The worst Monday ever.
Yeah, exactly. So as you guys may know, that this year's challenge was a variation of the World's Physical Fitness Challenge by the Guinness Book of Records. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad to say that I enjoyed doing the challenge that much that I'm actually now next year going to attempt to become, in inverted commas, the world's fittest man by doing the World's Physical Fitness Challenge. And a lot of it, when I first started on this journey, was for me. To prove to myself that I'm still fit, I'm healthy, and I could beat the best in the world if you put your mind to it. But actually now it's turned into more, I need to do this for all the other CF warriors out there that can't do it, because I feel privileged to be in a position that I can actually do something like this. And if I don't do it, it would be such a waste for cystic fibrosis worldwide. So I would love to be able to next year turn around and say, I'm the world's fittest man. Oh, and I've got cystic fibrosis. Because I think it would just give hope and inspiration to the youngsters coming through and their families that, yes, okay, you've got to be realistic with, potential in your child. But actually, why can't we hope to be the best we can be? And why can't we hope to beat anyone else in the world, and especially the average man or the average woman? So the challenge for next year is to cycle 110 miles, to row 20 miles, cross train 20 miles, run 12 mile, walk 12 mile, and then swim 2 miles, and then lift 130 tons of weight, and then 3,250 sit-ups, 1,250 press-ups, 1,250 star jumps, and 1,250 hip flexors. The difference is I have to complete all of that in 18 hours and 56 minutes or less to beat the world record. So
talk about a lofty goal. So yeah, I that's impressive in itself, but I think you bring up a really good point in saying that, everyone with CF is obviously very different, right? There's different severities of the disease. And we always talk about how Julie and I are very different in our own, lives with cystic fibrosis. And obviously you're a third, you have your own unique battle with it as well. And I think, it's very important to note that people out there with CF, getting up and exercising, may not be doing exactly what Josh is doing, but for some people who have very significant lung disease, just getting up and walking around the block may be a challenge in and of their own. And that's not something that you should downplay. That's something that you can definitely get out there and do. You have to push yourself every single day to get stronger, better, faster. And if that means just getting up and walking your dog, or even getting up and moving around the house if you're sort of in a place where your respiratory illness is very, very significant. Those are always accomplishments, at least in my life, that I think those are important to always look at.
Yeah, and I think, for me, the one thing that I've taken away from all of this is, regardless of what level you are at, it's always going to be hard work. Mm-hmm. And you've got to be willing to put that hard work in, because if you're not, then you're not going to, you know, feel better about yourself. You're not going to improve. Yes, there are incredible drugs out there and everything else, but my opinion is that, you know, you've got to work hard at your health, just like the average person does. You know, you can't, you're not going to stay fit and healthy if you're sat on the sofa all day, every day. And that's not just with cystic fibrosis, that's with anything. So yeah, unfortunately, it's not going to work. So yeah, I think it's important to note that, you know, I don't expect, I'm hoping to inspire others that I get a knock on the door in 10 years going, Josh, I'm going to attempt your challenge. Great, that's what I want, you know, but I also appreciate that everyone is different. And, you know, there are, I don't like this, but there are few like me that are able to do what I've done. Mm-hmm. But I'm hoping to inspire people that there'll be others in the future as well. I don't want to be the only one doing this.
Exactly. That's not to say that, you know, that may not change in the next decade or whatever. But yeah. So now I want to talk about where you're headed from the 24s for CF Challenge. I know you've created now Team 24, and you're starting a charity, the CF Warriors. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So Team 24/7. So we used the hashtag Team 24 throughout the whole challenge. And it was really strange because my brother came up to me after a few hours of training and said, Josh, I don't want to interrupt what you're doing, but we're trending on Twitter. And I was like, what? I went even faster.
The ultimate millennial motivation right there. We're trending on Twitter.
Yeah, exactly. So what we were doing was really working. So I've created a new brand called Team 24/7. And the aim of that is to have a community of people wearing the t-shirts, Team 24/7, to inspire people to change their lifestyle. It's not just for one day, it's every day of the week. So for me, I want to inspire hundreds of thousands of people to get up and do something. And actually, I think, you know, there's a lack of community feel to exercise at the moment, in terms of, I want people to be helpful. So if you see that person in the gym struggling, go and spur them on. If you see them that they're wanting help, go and help them. Because I think there's this big stigma with gyms over here, especially in the UK, that it's full of attitude, testosterone, and everything else.
Well, I totally agree. You know, you see people in the gym, it's very individual. And having played on teams my entire life, football, ice hockey, whatever, you know, the team activity is what motivates people to be better. And you just like you said, you go to the gym, you see people that are working out, and they're all on their own. You know, they're on their own.
It's intimidating.
Yeah, exactly. They're on their own, you know, time schedule. And I feel the exact same way when I go to the gym. You know, I go in there, I put my ear pods in, and I work out at my own pace. It'd be nice to, you know, feel like you're part of a team. So I hate to cut you off, but no, I definitely agree with what you're saying.
No, that's fine. Yeah, and I think so that's a big thing for me. So we're going to be starting that over the next couple of weeks. That'll be going live online. And the other one is CF Warriors. So CF Warriors is something that I came up with a few months ago, and really wanting to help every CF Warrior in the world get into sport and exercise in some way, shape or form. So I'm hoping to be sending out warrior packs, as we call them. And in those packs, we'll have like a skipping rope or some sort of exercise gear, along with a T-shirt, wristband, cap, again, to make them feel part of a team, but also like a diary. So like a virtual diary online. So they'll be able to see, you know, log what they've done that week. And again, this isn't about competing with me and saying, okay, well, I've lifted 100 tons, you've got to lift 110 tons. This is about hours and time spent exercising. So it might be that you do an hour one week because it's like a few minutes every day, and that's good exercise for that individual. But next week, let's go for an hour and a half, or let's go for 2 hours. So it's constantly looking to push them in that way. And there'll be an app as well that we're building at the moment, which will log their exercise, and then you go up levels as well. So the more you do, the more you get rewarded. So that's going to be a worldwide thing as well. It's not just limited to the UK. So we'll be sending these packs out all over the world. And obviously I'm quite passionate about it. So
yeah, well, you're certainly inspiring. I was well chuffed, as you might say. I don't know.
Because
I did 4 hours of dance during your 24 hours. Yeah. So I certainly feel like what you're doing is motivating not just me, but a lot of others to get up and move. And I think that's the important thing here, because it is the natural and a great therapy for all of us.
But, you know, he's also doing it in a way that's not intimidating people, right? And I think you're trying to be – very inclusive, especially with this, you know, I love the idea of your team 24/7 here, where you're trying to get people included, you're trying to motivate people. And I think, you know, in personal experience and having talked to, like you said, parents and patients with CF, they always want to know where to start and how to start. And I think your team 24/7 and your CF Warriors app and all that stuff is really going to be a major, you know, step forward in hopefully decreasing the intimidation that people may feel when they go to the gym, because they're going to feel like they're part of something larger. And I think that's sort of, you know, what we go with when we go, you know, when we have Team Boomer and these races and stuff like that. You know, you're obviously running a marathon, or as Julia can say, you're running a marathon by yourself, but ultimately you're part of a larger, you know, feeling and cause when you do these things, you know, with a larger group spread throughout the entire world.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for me, like I said, it's not about competing with each other. It's about helping each other. Mm-hmm. And I think for, you know, the line that we use with Team 24/7 now is just be the best you can be. And that is so, it's very individual, you know, you're being the best that you could possibly be, but you're still part of the team that are helping you to be the best you can be. And I think for me, having cystic fibrosis can be a very lonely place because of cross-infection. We can't mix with each other. Yes, it's great to talk on video and talk over social media, but it's still quite lonely. So I'm hoping to create this community that we can all sort of voice our opinions, we can all chat, we can all talk, and we can all just help each other. It doesn't matter where you are, in New York or in Canada or over here in the UK or in Australia, you know, we can all be part of one team, and that's, you know, we're all going to get better for it as well.
Certainly, and I can attest to that team mentality, like in the marathon, whether I was passing them or they were passing me, and I probably end up finishing last anyway. But when I saw Team Boomer shirts, it was immediately a camaraderie and a motivational factor. Like, didn't matter if I was slower, it just was like, oh yeah, that's why I'm here, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, definitely. Yeah,
that's really important. So I kudos to you for starting that, and what an important mission.
So yeah. I would be remiss to mention, you know, I got a text either on the day you were doing the fitness challenge or before the fitness challenge, and you ran into Sir Nick Faldo.
Yeah, it was definitely whilst I was doing it, because I saw him walk in and I think I was on the cross trainer at the time. And one of my friends who was with us, is an ex-professional, my best friend, ex-pro golfer. And he was like, oh my God, it's Nick Faldo over there. And so he came over, and it was his wife. I think it's his wife who came over with him and took a photo of me holding up your A4.
Yeah, yeah. See, Nick Faldo has been a big friend of the foundation for a long time. So that was that sort of brought the whole thing home for me. And I was like, it was the most random text message I ever got.
It was crazy. Yeah. I was stood there, and then it was the lady that explained, oh, I'm on the board for Boomer Esiason. And I was just like, hang on a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. One of my warriors is Gunnar Esiason. And then it was just, you know, in a gym in South Wales, how crazy is it to bump into him?
The CF community really is—it's big in some ways, but also in other ways, it's very, very small. And that really brought the whole thing home for me. And I was like, I saw the message come through, and I was like, wow, this is bizarre. But that's when I knew right then you were locked in, and you were going to beat your challenge. That was the stars aligning for everything right there, with Sir Nick Faldo walking in the gym and seeing you there.
Exactly. No, it was good. It was, and the support has just been absolutely phenomenal. And I mean, on social media, we've reached over 8 million people in 3 weeks. So for me, it was just looking at those stats and thinking, right, okay, how many out of those 8 million have got CF? And because I want to make that the number, you know, to go out to 100,000 of them in the world. But the support has just been incredible, like, from all over the world. And I could never imagine the first year event being so, you know, so high up on everyone's kind of thought process throughout the day. So it was just amazing to see for me.
Well, it's certainly amazing to see what the CF community can do and how bound together we are in a lot of ways. But we're almost out of time here, so I want to give you the last word. You know, I think people want to know, you know, are you recovering still, or have you begun training for your world record attempt? You know, what sort of, where are you at right now?
Okay, so during the challenge, just to give you some stats quickly, my average heart rate was 148 across the 24 hours. And I peaked between the hours of 3 and 6 p.m. on Friday at a whopping 189 heart rate for 3 hours. So that was pretty intense. But I actually lost, I'll convert it quickly, I lost 16 pounds of weight. Wow. In 24 hours. So I'm currently trying to get, it's getting back up. I put on another 8 or 9 pounds since I finished. But so I'm building up my weight slowly again to be my optimal level. But yeah, I'm back training. I took a week off training.
And well, a well-deserved week.
Full-time. Yeah. But it's, yeah, it's getting back into sort of 3 hours a day again now. And then maybe sort of 4 or 5 hours every weekend. So yeah, it's pretty intense again. You know, I'm a little bit off in terms of the world record attempt. I know I've got some serious training to do for that. So, you know, it's, but we'll get there.
Yeah, do you have a day set in mind for it?
I do this challenge, so.
Do you have a day set in mind for it?
Well, I'm trying to make 24 hours for CF an internationally renowned day for sport and exercise within cystic fibrosis. So it'll probably be around July time. I'd like to celebrate it, but if I feel up to it beforehand in say June, I'll go for it early. I've got the Edinburgh Marathon in May next year, February or May, I can't remember, and I'm also doing the Barcelona Ironman next October as well. So there's a few different events that I'm doing next year.
Just a few small events.
And I'll probably get roped into something else this year as well. So yeah, so we'll see. I enjoy events because, you know, it's good training anyway, and it's a bit more fun than just going out for a 26-mile run on my own. So
it's good training. People train for those events, but they're just training for you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Josh, thanks for joining the podcast again. It's always a pleasure to have you on. I'm sure we'll have you on again, either after your Ironman or one of the marathons, and you know, ahead of the your world record attempt next year. But again, thanks for joining. And that's really all the time we have for today. This is the 49th episode of the Making Matter podcast series. Remember, you can follow along with our weekly podcast via my YouTube channel on GunnarEsiason.com or JuliaRay.com. And you can also follow us on iTunes. If you do follow us on iTunes, remember to like, share, review. Like, share, review, very important. And then you can also follow us on Instagram. The Instagram handle, Julia, is what?
@MakingItMatter_CF.
Very important to also like, share, review in there. Also very important. Yes. Remember, regramming is a good thing. We encourage regramming. And if you want to see us podcast about something specific, you can always send us email. My email is gunnersblog@esiason.org. Julia's is?
JuliaRay@JuliaRay.com.
Or message us on Facebook. Very important to do that, too. This is Gunnar Esiason for Julia Ray. Josh, thanks again for joining
thanks
us today.
Thanks for having me, guys. Awesome.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Thanks, Josh. Bye, everyone.